And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment, the holiday episode. And we are here in December.
Yes, we are in December. We've made it through November's month of college. And now we're diving into the fun Christmas holiday movies.
Exactly. And we are kicking off this month's Christmas, you know, reviews with something a little different visually, something, you know, groundbreaking, as far as the, you know, the animation or motion capture it presentation in 3D, actually. And this particular film we speak of is The Polar Express.
Yeah, it is the 2004 animated movie all about a boy that travels to, gets on a train and travels to the North Pole in order to reconfirm that Christmas and Santa is real.
Right, because he's, you know, because he's one of the kids that don't believe anymore and just think, you know, Christmas is not magical or special anymore. And throughout the movie, throughout the madcap travel to the North Pole to see Santa, he pick up a lot of lessons and friends along the way.
Yeah, so this movie was cutting edge because it was, it used motion capture. So basically all of the actors, it's not just done in animation or on the computer. All of the actors actually act everything out, and it's captured using typically bodysuits. In video games, they put on a full bodysuit and that's how it's captured. And then they animate and put everything in 3D. The thing, so when this movie came out in 2004, yep. Motion capture still wasn't where it is today, and that made this movie a bit creepy because you can capture the actors' bodies and everything, but the eye movements aren't always synced up with the entire body. So I remember when the trailers came out for this, I had two thoughts. One, why not just film the entire movie versus putting it, like taking that extra stuff to put in animation? And then my second thought when I saw the trailer was, dear Lord, that's fucking creepy as hell. Definitely not going to go see this because this is going to give me nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. but it didn't.
I saw it for the first time yesterday.
Oh, really? You never seen this? Okay. This is one I kind of reach out, you know, reach back to every now and then. Because of course you have Tom Hanks in this film to star in pretty much his movie, as he plays, I think, like three or five different characters. And plus, he's the voice of the narrator. So, you know.
Right. He plays Hero Boy, who's the boy that we follow along this journey. The father, who we never see the father, we just hear the voice. Mm-hmm. He plays the train conductor. He plays a hobo that we meet on the train. He plays Scrooge, which is actually a puppet. And then at the very end, he also plays Santa Claus. So he basically this was a Tom Hanks movie with a couple other actors thrown in because he couldn't do every voice.
Right. So it was his vehicle, no pun intended. So like Jenna said, this film was released November 10th, 2004. So 2004. Actually, I want to switch things up just a little bit. So. Far as shows, like far as the top rated shows being cable television via Metacritic, like the highest rated shows at the time. So I'm going from 5 to 1. And this is cable. This is like basic cable. Pretty much, right. Yeah, basic cable. Okay, so, all right, so number 5, And I love this show. Rescue Me, the first season. The Dennis Leary joint. First season of Lost is number 4. Curb Your Enthusiasm season 4 is number 3. Arrested Development season 2 is number 2. And season 3 of The Wire was the highest rated Metacritic score show of 2004 in November.
And 4 had some fantastic TV,
didn't it? Wow. I mean, yeah, basic cable was just rocking it. FX, HBO, you know. Well, this was Arrested Development was still on Fox, so this is the only show out of the group that's an actual network show.
Yeah, that's because it was good writing.
Oh yeah, love Arrested.
Lost was ABC or NBC or something.
Oh, you're right. Yes, ABC. Yes, 2. So 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Season 1 of Lost is damn good.
Agreed.
Okay, so song. All right, sorry, I forgot to get on the song. So song, it was Usher and Alicia Keys' ballad. Wasn't necessarily a ballad, it was just a song called My Boo. I do remember this song. This is the year before I moved out to LA, actually. 2004. I moved out 2005. Yep, I remember it very well. And then Polar Express hit theaters around this time.
And it was directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Yes.
And it's based on a book by Chris Van Allsburg, and the screenplay was done by Robert Zemeckis also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people who don't know Robert Zemeckis, you have seen a Robert Zemeckis film in your lifetime, be it Romance in the Stone or Back to the Future, Forrest Gump. I mean, take your pick. I mean, he's been in it, you know. And this was his first kind of commitment to motion capture, like doing a motion capture feature. And plus, this is around the time when directors were experimenting with animation and like 3D presentation of animation. Because if I'm not mistaken, Polar Express was kind of like an IMAX 3D type thing also. It was an IMAX format, and it was like a 3D format also. You can tell with some of the sequence when, you know, the train is going up and down like a roller coaster, I can sense like those were like the 3D presentations like of the movie. You're seeing a lot of, you know, stuff flying around and flying at you, flying past you and things like that.
Yeah, it's funny because my text didn't go through to you last night when I was watching this, but I did text you asking, was this a long ad for a roller coaster ride? Because that's what it felt like. But yeah, it makes more sense that if this was released in 3D and IMAX, that they would put that motion sensory to it, so that as you're sitting in the chairs and everything, you feel like you're part of the movie. You're not just watching it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was pretty cool, actually. I have to watch it. I was like, man, this probably would have been a pretty cool thing to see in 3D and IMAX.
I imagine, like, if you put this into VR, that would be amazing also.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yes. So pretty much the bulk of the movie. And what I like about the movie is that the movie, like, it moves like the train. Like, the pacing of it is not a slow movie. Like, the pacing and the situations and, you know, all the stuff that happens on the train, on top of the train, below the train, behind the train, in front of the train, like, is, you know, everything is kind of bang, 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 bang. You know, it's never a slow moment. And it's pretty cool how it syncs up with, you know, the Polar Express, because this is a train that's not stopping. The train is going to the North Pole. That's what I noticed when I watched it again. I'm like, oh, this is a really, like, this is a really not, you know, it's not a fast paced movie, but it's not a slow movie.
Right. Did you read the book when you're a little kid, or your parents read that to you?
No, never read the book. You?
No, not at all. No.
I wonder if it's like a short story or like a short book. Or like a...
I mean, it's a kid's illustrated book, so I think it's about 30 pages long.
Okay.
But, you know, most of that's illustrations.
Exactly. And I wonder, and I kind of want to go back, or at least look at some Google pictures of the book, like if the director was trying to capture the feel, like visually, of the book. If it was a kid's illustrated book. You know.
It does definitely feel illustrated.
I think that's why he went with the whole motion capture thing, because it's wanted to have a feel of you actually being in like an illustrated book and you're going through these adventures within this, you know, colorful, like animated, you know, night going to the North Pole type thing. I don't think it would have worked. I don't think it would have worked if this was a live action movie.
Yeah, I pulled it. Can you see the? I pulled up some images. So yeah, based on the images in Google search.
Oh yeah.
It's definitely the animation. The movie definitely reflects what the illustrations in the book.
Yeah, wow, good job. I mean, the artists that the 3D artists and all those people. Okay, yeah, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. but so the story starts out with we see the boy in bed and his parents talking that they're worried that he's not as excited about Christmas as he used to be. And then he goes to sleep and the train shows up.
Yeah. And
obviously this movie takes place before Stranger Danger, because as a kid, I don't know if I'd get on a creepy ass train that just shows up and some stranger's like, come aboard.
But it's Tom Hanks. So, you know, it's safe. It's fine. Tom Hanks isn't going to do anything to you.
What? If a jumping on some creepy ass train that's filled with children and just one conductor and then a homeless guy on the top of the train.
Yeah, but you know, the adventure wouldn't have took place if he didn't get on the train. And plus, he wanted to go to the North Pole to see if this whole Santa thing is a real thing or was it just BS. Yeah.
Right. I feel like that's a perfect way for creeps to get kids into their trains, vans, vehicles. Come with me. I'll take you to the North Pole.
Yeah, if you're that kind of person. I think for the sake of storytelling and for the sake of just being true to the story. They just went ahead and let the story play out how it played out, you know.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah. I get that. I just
you have to detach the your reality from this animated story.
And I get that, but the combination of the animation with the like the eyes always going off in different directions from the body, and just thinking about how easy it is to get kids on a train, it was a bit too creepy for me. And then the roller coaster effects. No. I was trying really hard last night not to text you a bunch of stuff that was going through my brain. And
gotcha.
I only sent you the text about the roller coaster. But so like this was motion capture, which I mentioned. But the thing with motion capture is that video games have been using it for a really long time. So this was the first time it was really used in a full-length movie. Their budget for this was something like $165 million.
Sounds about right.
Crazy. Opening weekend, they only made $23 million back.
Yeah, but I think it ended up making
being successful.
Oh yeah, it's one of those movies that I think the same thing happened with Forrest Gump, right? It, like, it opened up, it had a modest opening, but it didn't really do well. And then, like, word of mouth just, you know, boosted the weekend, like, box office returns. It started going up and up and up and up. And then it got nominated and then went up and up and up even more. And then, you know.
What was it nominated for?
Polar?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I was giving.
Oh, you're talking about
Forrest. Yeah, but I'm sure Polar Express had to be nominated for some kind of technical something. I had to. I mean, this is like the first of its kind. How did Academy not recognize Polar Express that year?
Because it was too fucking creepy.
Oh, come on.
I walked away from that with nightmares.
You kids seemed okay. I didn't hear any articles after Polar Express people kids ran out crying. This traumatized me, mom and dad.
It doesn't look like it was nominated for any awards.
That sucks. But whatever. Like, it's a mess. It's like, whatever. Like, I got my Oscars. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you know, we see, you know, well, with the main character boy, you know, we follow, you know, we meet, you know, what was her name? This friendly black girl, and this quiet.
Her name is Hero Girl.
Gotcha. Yeah, because none of them had names, right? I don't think none of them.
No one has a name. Yeah, it's Hero Boy, Hero Girl, Lonely Boy, Hobo, Conductor, Mom, Dad, Santa.
Right.
Waiters. Those are the only name like that. Like, everyone just has a generic name. And I get why they did that, because when you say Hero Boy or Hero Girl, then it allows the children that are watching it to put themselves in the shoes of the character.
Right.
Versus having the name.
Right.
I don't think Hero Girl is in the book. So by adding her, it also allowed there to be diversity in the characters for children to you know, see themselves on screen.
Right. Yeah. And it was cool, you know, once when it's all over and the Polar Express dropped them back off in their respectable homes and their destinations. You know, the conductor, you know, news like the ticket puncher and then punch out letters, you know, that make up a word. And I think the conductor gave her leader. Yeah, it was leader. No, it was lead. Because she said, lead. So what I'm going to do with lead? And he's like, no, it also reads lead. Like, as a, you know, you're the, like, you know, the leader and all that stuff. So, I mean, those cute little things here and there for, you know, kids to, you know, catch. And our main character, you know, he got the word believe, and he went home and he have the Santa's like bell that he can hear. He's like, oh, if you believe, you can hear the bell. If you don't believe, you don't hear the bell anymore. So, but he heard the bell. And he still believed.
Yep. So a couple fun facts about the movie. This movie is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records as the first all digital capture film.
Nice.
The address for the little boy that we hear, when they're in Santa's gift shop and they see the addresses on all the gifts, the address that we hear for Hero Boy is 11344 Edbrook, and it is Robert Zemeckis' childhood house.
Yeah, because he's from Chicago, right?
Yep.
Yep. Chateau. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, well, I mean, of course, he's director, so I'm sure he'd be like, oh, I'm going to put my address. So, like, why the hell not, Robert? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like I said, it was a well-paced, what, like hour and about 34 minutes or something like that. I just say hour and a half because the end credits were almost 10 minutes for all of the technical credits that they had to give. So I just say hour and a half.
Yeah, and it goes by very quickly, mostly because of the roller coaster effect.
Yeah. And it's like all the group, the kids that meet each other, like they fall into one, you know, situation, into another, and things like that. So, like I said, there were never stagnant scenes. You know, it was just always like they're kind of stumbling upon something, or they got to go get something, or they lost something, got to find something. You know, they got to, you know, get somebody. You know, yeah, it was always, like I said, it was a tightly paced, you know, hour and a half of, you know, Polar Expressness.
Yeah. So going back to the creepiness, and you thinking I'm the only person that saw that, I'm not the only person. Because in some of the reviews, they referenced Masahiro Mori, who coined the term Uncanny Valley. Which describes the revulsion that people can feel when they encounter a robot that looks human enough, but is clearly not alive. And that was definitely what I was experiencing through this movie.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, there is Uncanny. I get the concept of Uncanny Valley, but is that on the movie or is that on the person for not accepting the reality of what they're watching? Like, this is not real, therefore I can't equate this to something real, even though it's a mimic of something real.
It's because they did a bad job of connecting the eyes to the body, and the facial movements of some of the characters was just off. It kept taking me out of the story.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, well, if that's the case, this is film that came out, was it 2001? Well, it was like just a full CG. It wasn't supposed to be motion capture, even though some was supposed to capture. It was called Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within. And that whole movie was a like 3D, like CG animated film with a hint, like, but the body movement was supposed to have been motion captured. So it was kind of like a hybrid. But obviously this one's just like full on.
But the thing with Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within, like if you had played video games, you're used to that type of look for characters, because it was basically the same thing that you see in a lot of video games. And I recognize that Polar Express was really doing something cutting edge. They needed to wait a couple more years to get the eyes right and the face right.
Well, I mean, they got it right now. I mean, it had to start somewhere, right? Like you have to have a blueprint somewhere to springboard, you know, into like a fully formed motion capture character. You know, like Alita. Alita's like a full CG character, right?
So much better, yes.
Yeah, see, but we had to have Polar Express to get to Alita. So it's like the stepping stones. Yeah. You know? I'm not gonna penalize it for being the first person out to try it, you know.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. So wait a minute, is it on anything? HBO or something like that?
You can rent it on Prime Video right now.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. So what's our holiday rating?
Our holiday rating is stay home, sit by the tree, put on your shoes to go shovel the snow, or number three is go outside and be attacked by Krampus.
Good one. So stay home, trim tree, drink some hot chocolate, or go out shovel the snow, or you thinking about going shovel the snow?
Thinking about shoveling the snow.
Okay. The thing about going to shovel the snow, or just go out and risk being killed by Krampus.
Yep.
Gotcha. No, I mean, it's I'm chilling with some hot chocolate and watching it. I mean, you know, like I say, if this was a longer movie, I would say, but it just feel like the film didn't wear out its welcome. It kind of just hit all the points it supposed to have hit, gave you the warm and fuzzies and got out. So yeah, it's sit down. It's fine.
I'm considering shoveling the snow. The animation kept taking me out, and I may have a dark brain, so I kept thinking about Stranger Danger through the entire movie, and it just kept taking me out of the magic of the moment.
Gotcha. All right. So there you have it, Polar Express. I'm sure people have seen this film before. But if not, definitely check it out. It's like I said, it's a good family film. The one thing you cannot say is this is not a good family film for, you know, people to sit down and watch. It's the spirit of the holidays.
Definitely watch it with your kids. Yeah. If you're the adult, maybe have a couple shots of or throw some Irish whiskey into your hot chocolate.
Well, you should do that regardless, right?
Make sure there's some bourbon in your eggnog before you start watching this.
Yeah, or any holiday movie in general. Except Die Hard. So until Thursday, we got a nice class of work for you Thursday. Until then, we wish everyone safe, physical distancing, and
wear a fucking mask.
Oh, peace.